favorite fantasy football podcast with your mom's favorite host, Bobby Sylvester. On today's show, we're going to be giving you a quick-hitting fantasy football blueprint to win your drafts this weekend. I'm joined by one of my personal favorites, Steve Dace of The Blaze. If you don't already follow him on X, he's at Steve Dace Show, and I'm at your mom's FF Pod. All right, let's talk some football. Hey, it's Bobby Sylvester. Welcome into your mom's favorite fantasy football podcast. Today's episode is going to be unique because I'm joined by Steve Dace of The Blaze. He's a four-time best-selling author, executive producer over a major motion picture, Nefarious, which my wife and I loved, and he knows fantasy football inside and out. I strongly recommend reading his book, A Nefarious Plot. Now, I'm adjusting the concept of today's show for Steve's followers. Usually, the show is a lot longer, more in-depth, just altogether nerdier. If that's your thing, subscribe if you like today's show. I'll be doing four shows per week throughout the year until the playoffs, talking waiver wire pickups, start sit, DFS, best ball, dynasty, and eventually the NFL draft in the offseason. So if you're more casual into fantasy football and just really want to beat your father-in-law or your boss, today's show is going to be perfect for you. Steve knows his stuff in another life. He would rule this industry. He's going to give five fantasy football takes, including some rookies that you'll need to know. I'm going to give five. And if you want to take it one step further, I've put together an easy to use one page cheat sheet that I'm going to give to my family and friends. I do it every year and you can use it for your draft. You can find that on my X at your mom's FF Pod. Now, I used to host one of the top ranked sports podcasts, but I'm independent now. I can proudly say this is going to be the first big unapologetic Christian conservative fantasy football podcast with your help. If you don't want woke nonsense, virtue signaling, safe spaces, you're in the right place. I'm in your boat. Data six, just football stats, kind of jokes we all used to enjoy, and great guests like Steve. Let's win your league together. Steve Dace, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. How are you doing?
You bet, man. It's a pleasure, and congrats on the new venture.
Oh, thank you so much. It's awesome having you on. I love the takes that you're giving, and we're just going to dive right on into it. Your backup running back that you love is Braylon Allen of the Jets. Now, you're not necessarily concerned about Breece Hall being the starter there.
So, you know, I used to own, in another life, the Iowa State fan magazine. In fact, I'm even wearing a little Iowa State shirt today with the Week Zero game over in Ireland looming. So nothing against Breece Hall, who is absolutely fantastic. Yes. But the new OC with the Jets is Tanner Ekstrom, who was with my Lions last year, actually the last couple of years. And he was specifically chosen by Aaron Glenn to come in and be the OC there. What did the Lions do the last few years when Aaron Glenn and Tanner Ekstrom were both in Detroit? What did they do?
They went old school.
It was like Kevin Mack and Ernest Biner when I was a kid. All right. They went old school, you know, with two feature runners. They don't want to have either one of those guys get the dreaded 300 carry, you know, and then you fade that guy the next year because he's got too much tread on the tires. Right. Okay. And so the reason why y'all are so frustrated about Jahmyr Gibbs in fantasy is because of what I'm saying right here. All right.
Exactly.
And so the second running back, there is no backup running back in this offense. The second running back, it's two dual feature running backs. And especially because just like David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs or Jamal Williams, you know, before that with DeAndre Swift, different style of runners, Braylon Allen, tough, physical, one-cut Wisconsin guy. And then you have Breece Hall, who is kind of your do-everything. They also complement each other well. So Braylon Hall is going to get a lot of touches. He's going to frustrate a lot of Breece Hall fantasy owners this year.
Breece Hall is fantastic in the receiving game, and he's going to be in there on third downs. When you get on the goal line, you want the ball in Braylon Allen's hands. And he's a guy that you can get outside the top 100 picks with a sneaky chance at 10-plus touchdowns. And if anything does happen to Breece Hall, whether it's a trade, whether it's an injury, which does happen in fantasy football, you don't want to bank on it, but Braylon Allen immediately becomes a top 12 fantasy football running back in that backfield. Now I'm going to give a take here, and it's to wait on quarterback. If you're in a casual league, all of your friends are going to be drafting the quarterbacks pretty dang high. But the reality is that my old co-host, Mike Tagliere, he recently passed away, unfortunately. He did a study on this. And the top four quarterbacks every year, yeah, you can use them every single week. Everyone else is no better than a streamer. Essentially, what that means is that you can go on the free agents, the waiver wire, any week and pick up a guy who's in a better matchup. For instance, Trevor Lawrence has a great week one matchup. The next guy that we're going to talk about, great week one matchup. These guys are going to be better than the fifth best quarterback, sixth best quarterback drafted. So don't waste a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick on one of these quarterbacks when you can get a quarterback outside the top 15. There's a lot of parity at the position. And the guy that we want to talk about here, and I'm in complete agreement with you, Steve, is J.J. McCarthy. Why do you love him this year?
So everybody's going to say, looking at the man cave, that's a homer pick. And I will admit, there might be a little bit of a bias, all right, as a Michigan fan. But the reality is he's the quarterback of our division rival now for me as a Lions fan. So I don't want him to get hurt or anything like he did last year. But I'm also not rooting for great things for him because it's at the expense of my favorite team. All right. But if it's just simple math, brother, I mean, if you just look at do we at least still think Justin Jefferson's going to get 9 to 12 touchdowns?
Absolutely.
Even if J.J. McCarthy, it's a Bataan death march for him as a rookie who missed an entire year of development. Justin Jefferson's getting 9 to 12 touchdown passes if you or I as the quarterback, right? All right. So we got to think after the suspension, Jordan Addison probably good for another 6 to 8 touchdowns. Again, these are like bare minimum numbers, I think, like low worst case scenario kind of numbers. You throw in T.J. Hockenson, a top tight fantasy tight end. Maybe low end again, 4 to 6 touchdowns. What did I just give you there? I gave you about 15 to 20 touchdowns on the low end. Like if McCarthy is awful, like why'd they draft this guy? Those three guys are so good. They're still getting 15 to 20 touchdowns through the air at a minimum. Well, who's going to be throwing those balls, my friend? It's going to be J.J. McCarthy. Not to mention, I just laughed out loud when I saw the NFL scouting community talk about how J.J. was just a statue quarterback. It's like they didn't watch any of his freshman film. All he did was run zone read and quarterback keepers. He's a very athletic guy, 4'6", 4'7", kind of a guy. So I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, as particularly in the red zone, happy feet, bails out, gets you 3 to 4 of those rushing touchdowns to give you the full 6 points in for those plays as well. And so there's just too much talent around him, I think, to be a failure. He may not be great, but I mean, Sam Darnold, they got Sam Darnold a $35 million payday with what Kevin O'Connell devised there, has drafted there. And I say this begrudgingly because it's a division rival, but O'Connell's one of the best offensive coaches in our league. He has proved that time and time again, no matter who the quarterback is. So even if J.J. is just a jag, just a guy, all right, he's still looking at 20-plus touchdowns if he stays healthy with the arsenal around him.
Even beyond Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, they've got the fifth best tight end in the league, T.J. Hockenson. Mm-hmm. Aaron Jones is one of the best pass catchers out of the backfield. And you look at what Sam Darnold did before he came to Minnesota last year, and it was not pretty. 63 touchdowns, 56 interceptions, and they turned him into what? 30-plus touchdowns last year?
Yeah.
Absolutely, J.J. McCarthy can repeat that type of performance. I'm not sure if the touchdown percentage is going to be that high, but where he's being drafted is the QB 17, the 17th quarterback off the board. That's his floor. He's going to far exceed that value. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the safest picks that you can get. All right, so moving on from quarterback, I want to focus on not ruining your draft. And you can do that by tanking your first-round pick. There is some risk in the first round. Typically, these are guys that nothing bad can happen, right? They're absolute superstars. But already we see Malik Nabers dealing with turf toe, which mm-hmm. doesn't sound that bad, but it has absolutely crushed fantasy wide receivers in the past. Puka Nacua, he's fantastic. Is Matthew Stafford going to play? He's dealing with a back injury. He just started practicing. Even if he does play, is it going to be the same? I'm not drafting Puka Nacua in the first round. And the other one that has a first round ADP and his ADP average draft position is fading is Devon Achane, the running back for the Miami Dolphins. He has a calf injury. They're saying he's going to be out 1 to 3 weeks. We saw with CMC last year, Christian McCaffrey, that turned into 8 weeks. Be really careful. Do not touch him unless he falls into the third round. You can draft anyone else in that range, but those three guys, there's a little bit of danger there. Now, one of those guys that's in that range that I don't mind sneaking in the first round is Ashton Jeanty. Now, you like a couple of rookie running backs here. Ashton Jeanty and Amarian Hampton, the running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. Why do you like these guys to be fantasy relevant from day one?
Number one, if you're drafting running backs in the first round, it's not because you view them as complementary pieces. You are going to center your offense around them, and you're going to pile on. I mean, that's young tread, young tires. You're going to pile on the possessions and the touches for those guys. So that's number one. Number two, look at the regimes that they both went to. And in particular, Genty's an easy one. You're spending a top 10 pick on him. And Ashton Genty was just, you know, a man among boys playing college football last year. Some of his, particularly at the group of five level, some of his highlights, it looked like that kid in ninth grade football who gets puberty before everybody else and is shaving, and guys are just bouncing off of him. And he was just doing that in the Mountain West last year. So I think the amount of value spent on him, that one's kind of a no-brainer. But if you look at who's coaching Omarion Hampton, it's Jimmy Harbaugh. And if there's one thing that Jim Harbaugh likes doing, it's running the football. And if he's not sure what to do, run the football. And right. When in doubt, if you're still indecisive, just go ahead and put the ball in the running back's belly and run the football, right? So for all the reasons being just having Justin Herbert as your fantasy quarterback, it was frustrating at times last year, is exactly for me why you want to buy Omarion Hampton. And I think by the end of the year, or maybe in cumulative, both of those guys, if they stay healthy, man, that's always the caveat in this league. But I think they both end up being top 20 overall fantasy running backs.
I was a little bit worried about Omarion Hampton coming out of the draft just because they signed Najee Harris, four straight seasons with 1,000-plus yards. He just shot his eye out with a firework. Now, I think he's going to be okay, but he just started practicing. This is Omarion Hampton's backfield from day one. Mm-hmm. In a Harbaugh running scheme with the best offensive line in football, I mean, this guy could be a league winner, not just a good value at his pick, but it is a smash pick in the third, fourth round. I love that call. Ashton Genty, I mean, we're talking about him in the neighborhood of a Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott. These guys, these
great analogies,
who come out of college and are immediately RB1s. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. They don't have that many weapons in the passing game. He's probably going to catch himself 50, 60 balls on top of 10 rushing touchdowns. If he's on the clock, if he's on the board at pick 10, pick 11, pick 12, I am definitely running to that rookie. All right, now I'm going to give you another guy that I think could be a league winner on top of Omarion Hampton. It's DK Metcalf. You can get him in the fourth round. He's not just the number one wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. He's the only receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, they're starting alongside him. They have 53 career receptions. Aaron Rodgers has played 13 full seasons. In every single one of those seasons, he has 25-plus touchdowns, 3,700-plus yards. DK Metcalf is going to eat in this Aaron Rodgers offense, and you can get him in the fourth round. He's probably going to produce second-round value.
I think that's a great pick, man. If you look at Aaron's history, he's going to feed the veteran receiver he trusts over and over and over and over and over again. So from a fantasy perspective, it's great. From a team success perspective, as he's gotten older, maybe not so much. But from a fantasy perspective, I think that's a tremendous call.
Thank you. And you've got some wide receivers that you like as well. One of them is Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions. Now, we're both Lions fans, and I love Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's going in the first round. But Jameson Williams, he has a better athletic profile, and he's just now reaching his potential. How good can he be this year?
I think you're talking about Tyreek Williams-level athleticism, but in a true X-receiver 6'1", 6'2", body. And I think with the new offensive coordinator we have in Detroit, in John Morton, he has said from the very beginning, what is his emphasis? Because he's taken over for one of the great offensive coordinators in the league for the last 4 or 5 years, right, in Ben Johnson. Even though people forget this was Dan Campbell's offense, it's his scheme that he got from Sean Payton, and he handed it over to this little-known tight ends coach named Ben Johnson to run it. People forget about that. People act like Ben Johnson devised this in a lab. It's Johnson's take on Sean Payton's offense is what it is. But Morton, wanting to put his own stamp on it, says, I want to throw the ball down the field more. Well, who's he talking about? I think you have Jameson Williams coming into the option year, which for a lot of first-round picks now is the contract year to determine if you're going to get franchised or not, if you're going to be trade bait or not, if a team's going to give you a long-term deal or not. This is his year for the option year. Really came on last season, had a very quiet 1,000 yards receiving. I think teams are kind of wise to how much, Goff likes to get rid of the ball quickly, likes to get the ball, in the seams to Sam Laporta, over the middle to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I think you're going to see teams now begin to roll their coverages to try to take more and more of that away. And I think between him and Jahmyr Gibbs, I think you see Jahmyr Gibbs flanked out wide quite a bit as well. I think Morton wants to demonstrate, to make teams honest, we can get the ball down the field. And I think Jameson Williams right now, I went and looked at a bunch of sites, the national sites last night before we talked. somewhere in the 50s to 60s overall, I think that's way too low. Maybe my call that by the end of the year, he ends up with more touchdowns and yards than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Maybe that's going too far. But I think at the very least, he ends up being a top 20 receiver or so in fantasy football this year.
This is now the second straight episode where someone has made that same exact call that he could surpass Amon-Ra St. Brown. And the reality is, last year he was only 23 years old. He was coming off a significant injury. He only caught 58 balls because the Ben Johnson scheme, the one thing that he brought into it, is he loves to pass to slot receivers, going all the way back to Jarvis Landry in Miami. And he caught 1,000 receiving yards on just 58 catches. If we can bump that up to 70, 75 receptions, which he's the type of player who could demand 100 one day in a different offense when he's the true number one, this is a guy who could absolutely win a league. Other guys that I think could win your league is to fill your bench with high upside backup running backs. Now, Steve already mentioned Braylon Allen, who is definitely my favorite of the bunch, but how many times have we seen a Bucky Irving, a Chase Brown, a Kyron Williams be drafted in the last round and then break out and win your league at the end? Those same kind of guys exist this year. We don't know which starters are going to get hurt. So grab three guys on your bench. I recommend don't even draft a kicker. Instead of drafting a kicker, draft an extra backup running back. If the starter gets hurt in the preseason, you struck gold. If it doesn't, okay, pick up a kicker right before the season starts and you're perfectly fine. Cut one of those backup running backs. But my guys this year, being drafted outside the top 100 picks with huge upside, Braylon Allen, as Steve mentioned, Ray Davis, the backup for James Cook in Buffalo, is sensational. Keaton Mitchell is a stud backing up Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's probably going to play till he's 80. He's a rock. But if anything was to happen, Keaton Mitchell in that offense could be nuts. And then the other guy that I love is Trey Benson in Arizona. They're going to be running the ball quite a bit this year. James Conner's now 31 years old, and Trey Benson was drafted high for a reason. He's got a lot of upside. Steve, let's go on back to wide receiver and where you've got Ricky Pearsall. If you didn't bring him up, I was going to, because who does San Francisco have besides him?
Right. Right. And I mean, this is a guy that was, in terms of route running efficiency, one of the I think most underrated prospects coming out of Florida in the draft 2 years ago, coming off an injury. He's rehabbed that. Brandon Ayuk, I think, is out to what, week six, week seven is what they're saying. They don't have Deebo Samuel anymore. They've just learned the hard way the last couple of years, man. They just cannot do the 300 touches every year with Christian McCaffrey thing. They've got to mitigate him so that he is actually around in November and December to impact the games that ultimately matter. They also play one of the softest schedules in the NFL. My power ratings show that they might be favored right now in 13 or 14 games.
Wow.
All right. And so Brock Purdy coming off a new contract, he's looking for somebody to prove. So this is kind of the inverse of J.J. McCarthy, where you look at the talent around him and you just say, is he a functioning adult? Is he a carbon-based life form? Because those guys are going to get their numbers, right? Which means he's getting his numbers by getting them their numbers, right? This is kind of the alter ego of that, in that when you look at what he has around him, what is the one thing lacking right now in the 49er offense? A true go-to receiver. And he's got versatility, can play outside and also play in the slot as well. I mean, I think that you're talking about a guy that's going to catch well over 100 balls this year if he's healthy.
He's a fantastic route runner. Juwan Jennings, who was the wide receiver five last year, he's also dealing with an injury. They had to go out and acquire a fifth string wide receiver from the Kansas City Chiefs just to have warm blood in their wide receiver core. Pearsall is going to hit the ground running from week one. He's going to be a stud. You can get him in round six. I'd reach for him in round five. I got one more potential league winner for you. We talked about some wide receivers. This one's a running back. Imagine getting the running back for the best offense in football in the sixth round. It's Isaiah Pacheco for the Kansas City Chiefs. He started 13 games for the Chiefs, and in that, he's averaged 19.5 PPR points. That would have been good for the sixth best running back in football, but he's being drafted as the 24th running back in football because he broke his leg last year. That's not an injury that's repeatable. That was a fluke. And the reality is, if he's on the field in this offense, he's going to get a lot of touchdowns. And he catches the ball as well. Not much competition in that backfield. Kareem Hunt's his backup. I'm reaching for him in the fifth round. He's my number one must-have player. Steve, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You bet, man. Anytime. And again, congrats on the new endeavor, and hope the best for it, man.
I really appreciate it. Take care. If you've been playing fantasy football for a while, you've probably tried DFS on FanDuel or DraftKings, but you might not have heard there's another game that's my personal favorite. It's a season-long huge contest with a $2 million top prize. Runner-up gets $1 million. It's called Best Ball Mania on Underdog Fantasy. And the strategy's super unique. You draft a huge roster of 18, then no roster upkeep the rest of the year. No waiver wire, no trades, no setting lineups. Instead, it takes your best lineup possible after every week to give you the results. So there's a lot of strategy in that on how to win. You can check out my Best Ball episodes and learn the strategy. And when you play just $5, Underdog gives you $50 in bonus funds when you use my link and promo code. To find it, just check out the show notes or go to my X account at Your Mom's FF Pod. Click the Underdog link, enter the promo code, which is Team Jorts. And if you're in my draft, don't you dare snipe me on Sam LaPorta. We're going to have some issues. That's all for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you on tomorrow's show, so make sure to hit the subscribe button and drop a review. That way you don't miss out on any advice to win your league and some fun along the way. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football.